Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. Retired Episcopal Bishop John Shelby Spong has issued a new manifesto. Those of you familiar with Bishop Spong know that he has made an industry out of heresy. He has published book after book challenging and rejecting historic Christian beliefs, literally calling for a complete new religion in the place of Christianity, one without a personal God, without heaven and hell, without a supernatural Jesus. You could go on and on. And for many years, he has been recognized as a leading advocate, that is, a very influential and public advocate of the full normalization of homosexuality. Now, he has released, just in recent days, a manifesto. One of the things he says in the manifesto, our central concern in this program today, is that those who are really advocating for homosexuality should simply no longer debate those who believe that homosexuality is a sin. They should simply say, no more debate. It's a settled fact. We're moving on. As a matter of fact, as you will hear in this manifesto, he makes the argument that holding the position that homosexuality is sinful, well, it is itself sinful. Homosexuality is not a sin, but believing that homosexuality is a sin is a sin. He compares it to racism and any number of other isms. And he says, look, you wouldn't enter into a public debate with someone arguing for the legitimation of slavery. So why would you enter into a public debate with someone who believes that homosexuality is a sin? Now, he mentioned several people he simply will not debate. And to tell you the truth, I'm ironically kind of honored to be on the list. But I want to make a point. This retired bishop will not actually debate because he just wants to trump all opposition. He just wants to establish, as a matter of public relations, a new normal. He just wants to claim a post-Christian moral high ground. That's really what I want to talk about today, a post-Christian moral high ground. You reject Christian morality, you dispense with the Christian tradition, you get rid of the scripture and its binding authority, and you say, now we're in a new era, we're in a post-Christian era, and there's a new moral high ground, and in this new high ground, we're simply not going to debate with all those who will not join us. You know, this has to be very, very frustrating because the vast majority of Christians, indeed the vast majority of Americans, do believe that there is something sinful about homosexuality. Now, those who are committed to the scripture believe a whole lot more than that, and that's never the end of the story, that that's not the most important thing the scripture says about homosexuality. The most important thing the scripture says about homosexuality is, yes, it's a sin, and therefore it points to our need, not just the need of homosexuals, but the need of all humanity for a Savior, who is indeed the very Savior that the Father has provided for us in Jesus Christ. You know, this is one of those issues we really can't duck. This kind of manifesto is a public statement that was intended to bring about a response. And he's getting all kinds of congratulations from the gay rights movement who are saying, finally, someone has issued a manifesto that says what we've wanted a major religious leader to say. Well, he said it. And now it's time to talk about it. Because this is, by the way, a pattern we are going to face in decades to come. In just a few days, we're likely to take up the issue of Richard Dawkins' new book. In Richard Dawkins' new book on evolution, he argues that those who are proponents of evolution should simply treat those who do not believe in evolution as if they're the same kind of people who deny the Holocaust. He said, let's make disbelief in evolution morally equivalent in the eyes of the public to disbelief in the Holocaust. And you can see where this logic goes. That's the same logic behind John Shelby Spong's new manifesto. The phone number to join the conversation is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. This is important not only because it's John Shelby Spong, not only because the issue is homosexuality, not only because he's arguing with the precise pointed argument that the debate is over on homosexuality. This issue is important because given our task of apologetics in a postmodern, post-Christian age, this is the pattern we're going to see. And it's interesting that in the span of just a couple of weeks on two different issues, two very well-identified spokesmen have come out and said, let's just end the debate and move on. Let's just make those who disagree with us look morally reprehensible and backwards and oppressive and just not even worthy of the debate. Let's just dismiss all concerns about evolution, as Richard Dawkins would argue, or about the sinfulness of homosexuality, as Bishop Spong would argue, and move on and have nothing to do with those who would debate the other side. John Shelby Spong says, and he mentions me among those he will not debate, that he simply will not enter into a debate on this issue anymore. Now, little footnote, I believe that when I see it. When you issue a manifesto like this, you're basically calling for the debate, and whether he likes it or not, that's just what he's got. And I hope you'll join the debate by calling me at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Glad to hear from you, of course, by email. Just write us at mail@albertmuller.com. And in terms of social media, Facebook, the Albert Mueller Program, Twitter, Albert Mueller, and Mueller Radio. First, to review some other issues in the news. This one also demands our attention. A lot of news over the weekend about a Louisiana justice of the peace who refused to issue a marriage license to an interracial couple out of concern, he said, for any children the couple might have. Keith Bardwell, justice of the peace in one of Louisiana's parishes, said that it is his experience the most interracial marriages do not last long. He said, quote, "I'm not a racist. I just don't believe in mixing the races that way," end quote. Well, let me just state something very, very clearly. It comes up time and time again on this program, and it's the kind of thing we need to make very clear. It is our responsibility as Christians to stand upon the authority of Scripture and to believe everything that the Scripture teaches. In this post-Christian and post-modern age, one of our greatest challenges is to make very clear that we really do believe everything the Bible teaches. We don't believe the Bible is offering us a piecemeal morality. We don't believe that the Bible is offering us a cafeteria of different moral options. We do not believe that the Bible is just a time-bound document that can offer us from some remote, distant historical location some insight for our everyday living. We believe that it is the very living Word of God, the revealed Word of God, the written Word of God. I believe that it is the inerrant and infallible Word of God, and that means I'm obligated to believe and to teach everything that is contained within it. But you know, that means something else as well. That means we must know what is not contained within it. Let me tell you, in terms of New Testament Christianity, what the Bible says about interracial marriage. Get ready to take notes. You ready? Here it is. Nothing. It says nothing at all. It is not a Christian moral issue. There is absolutely nothing drawing from the Scripture we have to say about this that makes any sense whatsoever. And if we understand anything about what it means to be a new people in Christ, we come to understand that those racial distinctions are a part of the glory of God displayed in His creation among His human creatures, such that before the throne of God, the redeemed from every tongue and tribe and people and nation will be sharing together in the oneness of what it means to be in the body of Christ. The issues around interracial marriage, well, you can take a demographic, sociological, political analysis of this. You can look at any number of different sociological dimensions, but none of them are related to biblical morality. And so Christians, when you look at an issue like this, you know, this man, and I do not know him, I cannot read his heart. He says he's not a racist. But when you make distinctions on racial terms, guess what? That's racism. Racism is the making of distinctions on racial terms, and this is just one of those reminders that it is very, very important that we, as Christians, make clear that we believe that every single human being at every single stage of development of every single race and ethnicity is equally made in the image of God and bears equal dignity before God. And this is simply one of those reminders that we need to be known for what we know is in Scripture and we then gladly believe, and what is not addressed in Scripture, so that we have no right to take a stand such as that represented here. The BBC is out with a fairly frightening report. It's frightening not only in what it says, but in what it doesn't say. It's reporting that doctors at a U.S. fertility clinic, now reporting at an annual fertility meeting, heard for the second year running of the merits of an embryo screening test for genetic faults. It says that this new technique called comparative genomic hybridization, or CGH, will be particularly useful to older women because it's particularly adept at screening embryos carrying genetic errors that cause conditions like Down syndrome. It says the screening checks chromosomes in the developing embryo when it's a few days old, meaning only those embryos with the best chance of success are used in fertility treatment. Alan Pacey, the British Fertility Society, said embryology is really crying out for something like this. Folks, let's talk about what this is. This means that you intentionally create human embryos, and then you screen them in order to find out which ones you think are of adequate quality actually to be transferred into a mother's womb. You talk about racism. This is where these two stories are tied together. Here you have genetic racism, where we are literally deciding who shall live and who shall die with genetic screening at the embryonic level. It is reprehensible and an assault upon human dignity, and I promise you this, it will not end at the level of the embryo. We're coming right back to talk about John Shelby Spong's new manifesto and what it means. You're listening to the Albert Miller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Moeller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
So it was in the middle of the night just a few days ago, an email popped up, and it said, Dr. Moeller, you want to see this. John Shelby Spong won't debate you anymore. Actually, you've debated a couple of times in the past, but it's been a while. John Shelby Spong, for those of you who do not know that name, is the retired Episcopal Bishop of Newark, New Jersey. For decades now, he has been known as kind of the leading edge of the far, far left in American Protestantism. And by the way, if you know anything about liberal theology in America, that far, far left is way, way out there. When it comes to John Shelby Spong, I wrote a review several years ago suggesting that he must be a very frustrated man because, having denied all the basic doctrines, he's run out of doctrines to deny in order to write a new book. But give him credit, he'll come up with something, and he has. He's come up with a new manifesto, and that's what the link took me to just a few days ago. His manifesto says this: I have made a decision. I will no longer debate the issue of homosexuality in the church with anyone. I will no longer engage the biblical ignorance that emanates from so many right-wing Christians about how the Bible condemns homosexuality, as if that point of view still has any credibility. I will no longer discuss with them or listen to them tell me how homosexuality is an abomination to God, about how homosexuality is a chosen lifestyle, or about how through prayer and spiritual counseling, homosexual persons can be cured. A lot of quotation marks and all that. He says, I will no longer take the time to refute the unlearned and undocumentable claims of certain world religious leaders who call homosexuality deviant. I will no longer listen to that pious sentimentality that certain Christian leaders continue to employ, which suggests some version of that strange and overtly dishonest phrase that we love the sinner but hate the sin. That statement is, he says, I have concluded nothing more than a self-serving lie designed to cover the fact that these people hate homosexual persons and fear homosexuality itself, but somehow know that hatred is incompatible with the Christ they claim to profess, so they adopt this face-saving and absolutely false statement. The world has moved on, leaving these elements of the Christian church that cannot adjust to new knowledge or new consciousness, lost in a sea of their own irrelevance. They no longer talk to anyone but themselves. I will no longer seek to slow down the witness to inclusiveness by pretending that there is some middle ground between prejudice and oppression. There isn't. He then goes on to say he will particularly ignore those from his own Episcopal church. Then he goes on and says, I will no longer listen to televised debates conducted by fair-minded channels that seek to give both sides of the issue equal time. Lots of quotation marks there. I'm aware that these stations no longer give equal time to the advocates of treating women as if they are the property of men, or to the advocates of reinstating either segregation or slavery, despite the fact that when these evil institutions were coming to an end, the Bible was still being quoted frequently on each side of these subjects, on each of these subjects. It is time for the media to announce that there are no longer two sides to the issue of full humanity for gay and lesbian people. There's no way that justice for homosexual people can be compromised any longer. He says he's not going to argue. He gives a list of people. I'm on that list. He goes on and says, again, the debate's over. And let's just declare it over. He says, I will also no longer act as if I need a majority vote of some ecclesiastical body in order to bless, ordain, recognize, and celebrate the gifts and lives of gay and lesbian people in the life of the church. In other words, he's a church unto himself. Actually, he's kind of an unchurch unto himself. He says, writing many more paragraphs, concluding, this is my manifesto and my creed. I proclaim it today. I invite others to join me in this public declaration. I believe that such a public outpouring will help cleanse both the church and this nation of its own distorting past. It will restore integrity and honor to both church and state. It will signal that a new day has dawned and we are ready not just to embrace it, but also to rejoice in it and to celebrate it. End quote. What we have here is an attempt to create a new post-Christian high ground in which you simply say, we're not even going to accept there is an argument against homosexuality. We're so far past that, we're going to leave it behind in the dust of our historical embarrassment. We're moving on. It's an attempt to shut down conversation, and on this program at least, it's had the opposite effect. I hope you'll join the conversation by calling 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. I hope more than anything you will note the pattern that is going on here. It's not just John Shelby Spong on homosexuality, as we'll see in coming days. It's Richard Dawkins on evolution, suggesting that we're simply going to act as if the people who disagree with us are immoral because they will not accept either evolution when it comes to Richard Dawkins or the full normalization of homosexuality when it comes to John Shelby Spong. What say ye? The phone number? 877-893-TALK. That's 877-893-8255. In Durango, Colorado, Chris is listening on KPTL. What do you think, Chris?
Albert, I heard you read off the labels liar, hater, self-righteous, are pious, and right-wing. And so in an ad hominem attack, you would call me a bunch of names and then say that because I'm those things, you're not going to debate me. And that's exactly what these folks are doing.
Yeah, Chris, I think your ears were open there, and it sounds like you were listening carefully. You're exactly right. This is an ad hominem kind of attack. And for those of you who do not know that Latin term, it means as a matter of debate, you simply try to dismiss the humanity, literally, of your opponent so that you no longer have to take his argument seriously. And that's exactly what he's doing here. And Chris is exactly right. I don't think it's going to work. Chris, let me ask you, when you hear something like that, does that have the effect of intimidating you or emboldening you?
Two things. I mean, and seriously, this is a real challenge because the first thing it does is get my dander up and want me to react, makes me want to react emotionally. And the reality is that's exactly where that person wants you to go, because then they can say, look, they're irrational. They, you know, we said the truth and it hit them hard because look how they're reacting. So the first thing it does is make me say, okay, slow down, listen to what they're saying and respond correctly, not from my emotions, but pray. Seek the Holy Spirit and let the Lord speak through you, not in your flesh.
I appreciate that, Chris. I agree wholeheartedly and really appreciate the spirit of your comments there. The first impulse when you see something like this is either to dismiss it or to be, you know, angry about it. But let me tell you, the most important part of this manifesto is what's addressed to the media. And I'll tell you, this is an argument that is already out there. And it is already gaining some traction with the media. I can tell you, I live in the media, and I know what's going on here. The attempt right now is being made. You can see it in the response, for instance, of Hollywood and much of the media to the Proposition 8 passage in California. You can see it in terms of the issue of homosexuality. It's not the only issue, but it's perhaps the most, almost assuredly, I would say, the front burner issue on this. What you see is the attitude from people who are saying, look, we're being held back making progress on this agenda by giving time to people who disagree with us. So let's just no longer give them time. Let's act as if the debate is over and we're moving on. And, you know, in a cultural debate, at some point there is a tipping point. Not to overuse an overused metaphor, but there simply is at some point a moment at which the momentum shifts from one moral direction to the other. And they're attempting to say, let's just declare victory. It's almost just like that argument made by a general during Vietnam. Let's just declare victory and get out. And John Shelby Spong wants to declare victory in this debate and no longer dignify the opposition. And one of the interesting points he makes here is he says he will no longer act as if there is any middle ground. I'm not sure exactly what he means by that. But then again, I think I do. He's suggesting that anything less than the absolute, unconditional, total normalization of homosexual behavior in every form is just backwardness, prejudice, intolerance. He says, let's move on. He wants to shut down the debate. I want to hear what you have to say. Give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We'll be right back with your calls.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. I thought this manifesto would be of interest to you. It's just the kind of thing that ought to grab your attention, not just because of the offensiveness of what's contained within it, not just because of the actual moral revolution that John Shelby Spong is just assuming and calling for here, but because this is the shape of things to come. This is the kind of argument we're going to face, not only on this issue, but on any number of other issues. And it's important that we be able to respond to this, first of all, recognize it for what it is, and then understand just how we're going to respond to it. Call 877-893-8255 to join the conversation. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Orlando, Florida. Brenda's listening on WTLN. Go ahead, Brenda.
Hi. Yeah, my question is, a leader, an ordained leader of the church, how can they just choose to ignore specific, very clear scripture in both the Old and the New Testament and teach others to just overlook them?
Brenda, thank you so much for your call, and you're asking a question that must be on just about everyone's mind. After all, when you identify John Shelby Spong as the retired bishop, Episcopal bishop of Newark, New Jersey, at least many people would assume that means that here is a man who's obligated, even by his vows, to Scripture. But what you have here is a man who for many, many decades, for at least the last, say, two or three decades in which he's been publishing books, he's been well known for denying the inspiration of Scripture. He doesn't even believe in a personal God, by the way, to inspire Scripture. So you're looking at the total theological unraveling when it comes to John Shelby Spong. But Brenda, here's what's so important, and I really appreciate your call. I want you to notice that when I read that section of the manifesto, and I'm going to go back to it for a minute just so you can hear it. When John Shelby Spong is talking about the Bible, he says, "I will no longer engage the biblical ignorance that emanates from so many right-wing Christians about how the Bible condemns homosexuality as if that point of view still has any credibility. I will no longer discuss with them or listen to them tell me how homosexuality is an abomination to God." And he goes on. Now, what I want you to note there is that John Shelby Spong doesn't say that the Bible doesn't say that. He doesn't deny that the Bible says that homosexuality is an abomination. He doesn't deny that the Bible clearly teaches that homosexuality is a sin. He doesn't believe that the Bible is the Word of God. He doesn't believe that it should have any binding authority on us. And when he talks about biblical ignorance, what he means is believing the Bible. He would hold to a mode of scriptural interpretation. He would cloak it in a scholarly academic garb and say, we just try to find something in there using our critical and interpretive methodologies. There's something that we can retrieve and save and use. But no one should take it as a binding moral teaching. And so you have out with not only the inerrancy of Scripture, out with the inerrancy and an inspiration of Scripture, out with the authority of Scripture, out with the very notion that there is a Word of God, and frankly with John Shelby Spong, out with the notion that there is a personal God who'd reveal himself in the first place. Those who believe such things, he says, are simply reflecting biblical ignorance. That's the kind of post-Christian high-handedness I want to draw our attention to. But as Brenda says, let's understand what's going on here. This is a direct rejection of biblical authority. You know, the one thing I really do agree with Bishop Spong about in his manifesto is when he says there is no middle ground. I really think there is no clear, kind of halfway between two positions, cutting the middle, you know, just cutting a deal kind of middle ground. But I think it's very important we understand that our authority for understanding whether homosexuality or anything else is a sin is found in the Scripture. And we don't move from that to something else. It's very, very interesting to understand that what we have here is a wholesale, whole-scale destruction of the Christian truth claim. Thanks for your call, Brenda. Let's go to John calling from Louisville, Kentucky, listening on WFIA. Go ahead, John.
Thank you, Dr. Mohler, for taking my call. Isn't what this guy's done, isn't that what the Bible talks about, that there, you know, there would be false teachers that would stray from the truth and try to undermine our faith and what the Bible teaches? Shouldn't we expect that, even though we're to pray and stand for what the Bible tells us? Shouldn't we expect that to get worse?
We should, John, and I really appreciate your point. Let me point out one strange twist in that. You know, in the New Testament, we are really encouraged to have discernment, and we are told that there are wolves in sheep's clothing. In this case, I have to say, I think what we have here is a wolf in a wolf's clothing. The heresy here is so apparent, you don't have to have a lot of discernment to figure this out. But that leads to the question, and John, that's what I have to think about from your comment. How is it this man sells books? Who is it who's being influenced here? We'll be back to follow that discussion on the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. This is what John Shelby Spong says in his manifesto. It is time to move on. The battle is over. The victory has been won. There is no reasonable doubt as to what the final outcome of this struggle will be. Homosexual people will be accepted as equal, full human beings who have a legitimate claim on every right that both church and society have to offer any of us. Homosexual marriages will become legal, recognized by the state, and pronounced holy by the church. End quote. He goes on and on in his manifesto to say the debate is over. He will no longer debate the issue. He will no longer concede that there is another side to the argument. The phone number is 877-893-8255. We're going to take as many calls as we can. We're going to go to State College, Pennsylvania next. Bill's listening on WTLR. Go ahead, Bill.
Hi, Dr. Albert Mueller. Thank you for having me on the program. I just wanted to call and add the comment that this just further shows evidence of man's regression of morality, and it further shows how man is continuously increasing in his worship of the created things rather than the Creator, and thus God has given them over to a reprobate mind.
You know, Bill, it's amazing because my thoughts were exactly where yours were in Romans chapter 1. And I'll tell you, when I saw this manifesto, I thought of that very last verse of Romans chapter 1. Well, after that long catalog is offered by Paul showing the depths of human depravity and our need for salvation, our need for a Savior, he lists at the bottom of that incredible catalog of sins those who not only do the same, but give hearty endorsement to those who do them, hearty approval. And that's exactly what Bishop Spong's doing here. Bishop Spong has not identified himself as homosexual. He has nonetheless taken up the cause of homosexuality and normalizing homosexuality in the church. He is giving hearty approval to those who do such things. And there just has to be a very clear understanding on our part of what is really at stake here. It's not an argument that's at stake. It's not a debate that's at stake. It is the eternal destiny of lives, of human beings made in the image of God, of sinners who desperately need a Savior. That's what's at stake. Getting this wrong is to get the gospel wrong. And that's why time and time again, I have to come back to the fact that homosexuality, like so many other things, is a gospel issue because it is this that shows us, not just homosexuals, but all of us, our need for a Savior. And just as Bill talks about here, there is a biblical picture of a descent into sinfulness. There is a pattern that is very clear in Romans 1 of God giving over three times. God gave them over. And what we see here is that those who give themselves to such things, they can no longer recognize there is another side. And that's exactly where John Shelby Spong is and would have others to go as well. Thanks for your call, Bill. Let's go to Carolyn, calling from Oxford, Mississippi, listening on the World Wide Web. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Okay, I just wanted to make the point that it's important for Christians to stay in this debate because there are some far-reaching ramifications. For example, if homosexual marriages are a legally recognized institution, then public schools are going to be bound to present homosexual marriages in exactly the same way that they present heterosexual marriages.
Well, Carolyn, you're absolutely right. And, of course, as you're calling from Mississippi, my guess is where you are, that's a future, potential, threatened reality. But there are parts of America right now where what you are stating is already true. It's already true even in a state like California, where same-sex marriage is not legalized yet. It is still the case that in the public schools in California, same-sex unions are presented in family diversity the same way that any other marriage or family unit would be presented, not to mention what goes on in Massachusetts. We've tracked that issue here on this program. Recently, in the last couple of years, erupted big time in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where in the public schools, very same kind of thing was going on. You know, Carolyn, you are so right, because marriage is a picture, regardless of what you understand or don't understand about marriage. Folks out there, let me just tell you, it's a picture. You're looking at it, and when that picture is confused, not only is marriage confused, but everything unravels from that point outward. And Carolyn's exactly right. We have to stay in this because it's about more than marriage. Now, if it were just about marriage, we'd have to stay in this battle. We'd have to stay in the argument. We would have to hold true to what we know to be true. We'd have to tell people what we know God has revealed in His Word. And we would have to point them to where we believe with all our hearts they will find health and happiness and joy. And on the other hand, where they will find destruction and judgment and pain. But it's about more than marriage. It's about more than that. And especially when you're dealing with the direct subversion of the Scripture, the absolute rejection of everything the Scripture says, well, you can count on the fact that the consequences of that are absolutely devastating. It just ricochets through every single issue of our concern. And you're exactly right, Carolyn, to be very worried about that. We should all share that concern. I've mentioned this on the program before, but I'll never forget being in a meeting with some Christian leaders discussing that, and a man who had been sitting pensively and quiet through the meeting said, "I'm just thinking of the pictures in the picture books that kids are going to see. At the very earliest, most tender ages, their eyes fix on these pictures, and they have a picture of reality that is transmitted to them. And when you have the success of this agenda that goes through, it eventually shows up right there in the books. And you're going to find a whole new set of pictures." And it's already true. This is an issue. We just had the debate over the American Library Association and Banned Books Week and all that. A lot of those books that are at the very concern of parents are the books that already have those very new pictures in them. And they're going to become ubiquitous. That is to say, they're going to be everywhere. And you're going to find them. And publishers aren't going to be able to publish a book without being concerned that they'll be called exclusive and intolerant and repressive and regressive and prejudiced if they don't put in a diversity of marriage forms, a diversity of family structures and all the rest. Carolyn, I really do appreciate your call. Folks, when you look at this, you realize that every issue is related to every other issue. And that, by the way, is an important part of the Christian worldview. The Christian worldview has at the very foundation the existence of God and the unity of all truth in God Himself, who is the God of truth. And because all truth is unified, that means that every issue is related to every other issue. If you really understand the great superstructure of thought, if you understand a comprehensive morality, you come to understand that you can't just list all the different issues as if there are different islands in the middle of some kind of ocean. They're all tied together. And to lose our sanity on one issue is to subvert our sanity on every other issue. A society that doesn't know what marriage is a society that doesn't know what human dignity is. It's a society that doesn't know what sex is. It's a society that doesn't know what justice and mercy and goodness and love really are. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This was a discussion we needed to have, but this isn't where we need to leave it. And that's what's so very important anytime we take this up, because even as Bishop Spong is trying to say there is no argument against homosexuality that we can dignify, let's just move on, and we know how wrong he is, we've got to be really careful that when we come together to say we believe the Bible, we believe that what God reveals in the Bible is a pattern for human life, for marriage, for sexuality, for humanity, that excludes, for numerous reasons, all connected together, any kind of endorsement of homosexuality. We know what the Scripture says, is it condemns homosexuality as a sin in every form. But, you know, there's a sense in which conservative Christians can be very triumphalistic and say, we know we're right. We're absolutely certain that homosexuality is a sin. And by the way, we are absolutely right that it is. But, you know, the point of the Scripture in pointing out the sinfulness of homosexuality is not to single out homosexuals. It's not to point to homosexuals and say, look, there's a sinner. It is to point to humanity and say, every single human being is a sinner. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That same chapter, Romans 1, that gives the quintessential argument for the sinfulness of homosexuality also gives the quintessential argument for the sinfulness of everything from being a gossip to being a backbiter to being disobedient to parents. You know, the reality is that this is an argument that not only has to be made earnestly, it has to be made honestly. And the most important thing about the Bible's very clear word about homosexuality is not that it begins and ends by declaring that homosexuality is a sin. Yes, it says that. It has to say that. It's important that we know that. It's vital that we understand, however, that all that is to point to our need for a Savior. The need of homosexual persons for a Savior? Absolutely. The need for every sinner, regardless of sexual identity or lack of sexual identity, every single human being is a sinner who desperately needs a Savior. And Jesus Christ is that Savior. And we have to end this particular discussion where every Christian conversation of sin must end, and that is with the fact that our sin is to lead us desperately to understand that we need a Savior, and it is to lead us to see in Jesus Christ the provision, the total and absolute and singular and fully adequate and abundant provision for our sin. And I can't end this conversation without saying to all of us that this conversation should soberly remind us that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed good news. It is the only good news of our salvation from problems that we are and we create and from which we cannot escape. Homosexuality is one of them. But every single person, heterosexual, homosexual, or whatever, is in equal need of a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. Back tomorrow for Intelligent Christian Conversation. Thanks for listening to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.